Hello there, my name is Elijah David, minister of Fourth Hour Prosperity Church Congregation outside the Fourth Hour in the Oregon, Texas. Today is October the 6th, 2023, or it is the 22nd day of Tishri, 2027. We will start our first service today. I am planting today a beautiful land. I shall reach when the sun goes down. When through wonderful grace by my Savior I stand, will there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? When the evening the sun goes down, will it with the blessing of mansions of bread? Will it be any stars in my crown? In the strength of the young, let me labor and pray. Let me watch as a winner of souls. That the stars may be mine in the glorious day, when His praise like the sea billows flow. Will there be any stars in my crown? When this evening the sun goes down, when I wake with the bliss and the mansions of bread, will there be any stars in my crown? Oh, what joy it will be when His face I behold, living gems at His face to lay down. He will sleep in my breast in the city of gold, should there be any stars in my crown? Will there be any stars in my crown? When the evening the sun goes down, when I wake with the bread and the mansions of bread, will there be any stars in my crown? Okay, John the Baptist, forerunner of Yeshua, we'll find the prophecy in Malachi chapter 3. Let us now turn to Malachi chapter, and let's see what we have there. Okay, it says, now it says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Yeshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Yahshua of the host. Now, a lot of people will say that that's talking about the Father, that he and the host is the people that this messenger is sent to. And that would be number one, the 144,000. So Yahshua stands at the Lamb on Mount Zion, Revelation 14:1, here in his second coming. And that's what we're looking at, his second coming. And so he's a host of the 144,000, his prophets, priests, and kings that are going to work with him for the harvesting of the world. But it says in Malachi 3, verse 2, that he may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of the silver. and he shall purify the sons of Levi, which is your priesthood, and that would be the 144,000 today, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahweh, and I will go unto the Father now, an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah, the lawgiver, of the prophecy of Genesis 49:10, and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahweh, as in the days of old, and as in the former years. And I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the adulterers, and against the false swearers, and against those that oppress the harlot and his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right. And fear not me, saith the Yahshua of the host, for I am the Yahweh. I'm going back to the Father now. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. So, Yahweh said, because he doesn't change, he made a covenant with Jacob, he said, I will not change. And that's the reason why the descendants of Jacob are not consumed, because they have all sinned and fallen short. But he said, I will not change. Therefore, your sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances. So he's saying those 7th-day Adventists, even the 144,000, he says, even from the days of your fathers coming out of Egypt, you are gone away from mine ordinances. That's of the sanctuary, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Yahshua of the host. Now this is the Son talking here. So apparently it's the Son that's talking all through this chapter. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob Yahweh? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Okay. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation of Israel. And the whole nation of Israel reaches clear down to our time. Adventist is a part of this nation of Israel he's talking about. And the Davidian Adventists are a part of this nation he's talking about. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. There's only one storehouse ever. And Joseph down in Egypt built those storehouses to feed for the 7 years of plenty. But the 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of famine. Joseph built those storehouses. And the children of Israel, the Egyptians were told, you plant up everything you can plant, and you plant all the seed that you can plant, and store it up for 7 years, you're going to need it. And they did. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. So what is the tithe money for? It's to be used for the saving of souls. People that are waiting to hear the truth. If they don't have servants and ministers that can come to them as the Spirit sends them, the Spirit's ready to send some people, some servants, and yet they don't have the money to go. Well, that's because somebody's been withholding their tithes and offerings. I won't allow these servants to be able to go to the field for the saving of souls. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now, herewith saith Yahshua of the host, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith Yahshua of the host. And all the nations shall call you blessed. Okay. Now the United States is under siege right now. Our government has been a rogue government. It's been run by a foreign country, and that was Spain. That was the Vatican, where the Pope resides. He's been the one that has ruled this country ever since it came into being. For you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Yahshua of the host. So the United States is set up now to be a delightsome land, and especially Texas, set up to be the land of Goshen in spiritual Egypt, for the housing of the whole house of Jacob and his seed. It says so in the type. Jacob spent his last 17 years going back down into Egypt. He went down in the second year of the famine, and he stayed down there for 17 years, and that's where he died, Jacob. But he blessed his 12 sons down in Egypt before he died to be a blessing to the whole world. And Texas is an antipical Goshen that is in the spiritual land of Egypt today. And we're in the land of Goshen right now. Your words have been stopped against me, saith the Yahshua. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? You have said, it is vain to serve Yahweh. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked mournfully before the Yahshua of the host? And now we call the proud happy, yea. They that work wickedness are set up, yea, they that tempt Yahweh are even delivered. Then they that fear the Yahshua, well, now I'm back to the Father Yahweh. Then they that fear the Yahweh, the Father, spake often one to another, and the Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of the remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Yahshua, the Son, and that thought upon his name, and his name is Yahshua. And they shall be mine, saith Yahshua the host. This is the Son talking. And that day when I make up my jewel, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth Yahweh and him that serveth him not. So, we are at that place where the sanctified house of Israel is set up now to be the teachers and rulers in Israel. They'll be able now to discern between the good and the bad, the righteous and the wicked. Because why? The sanctuary that has been restored has sanctified them, the leadership, to where they can discern now, between the righteous and the wicked. And so now we'll turn right back to the book of Nahum. We'll turn right back quickly to the book of Nahum. It's just right behind us. And let's read that. 1:15. Nahum 1:15, it says, behold, upon the mountain, the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publishes peace. O Judah, this is the lawgiver, that's the house of David, that's who we are today. Keep thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he is utterly cut off. So up to this time, this house of Judah, the tribe of Judah, the house of David, is the wicked are passing through them. But if David sanctifies, antithetical David, the tribe of Judah sanctifies the sons of Levi, Malachi 3, and purify themselves, then the wicked will automatically be cut off from ever coming and being a threat to pass through this house, this purified house again. So this is where we're at today, folks. Okay, now let's go back to Malachi 4 now, chapter 4. He says, well, behold, the day of the cometh that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. Okay. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Yahshua of the host, that at they shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as the calves of the stall. And you know, calves of the stall, it takes them 1 year to grow up from the time they're born. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith Yahshua of the host. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb. That was at the burning bush. For all Israel. That's where also Mount Sinai is at Horeb in Saudi Arabia, with the statutes and the judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers unto the children, and the heart of the children unto their fathers, that shall come and smite the earth with a curse. Okay. What are we learning here? We're learning that we are in the antitype of this day of the messenger of the covenant being a sent unto the house of Israel. And then there will be a harvest after this messenger brings his message from heaven. And this will be him announcing the second advent of the coming of Yahshua. So now, let us turn to Desire of Ages. Let's just go ahead and turn to Desire of Ages now. Sister White. We're on page, I think, 130. We're on page 132, and it's called We Have Found the Messiah. Okay, we're going to go to the baptism of but still, I'm looking for something else. Okay, let's change that. We're going to go to page 97, Desire of Ages, chapter 10, entitled The Voice in the Wilderness. He says, from among the faithful in Israel, he said, who had long waited for the coming of the Messiah, that's the first coming, the forerunner of Yahshua arose. As we know that was John the Baptist, for the aged priest Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth were both righteous before Yahweh, and in their quiet and holy love, the light of the faith shone out like a star amid the darkness of those evil days. To this righteous pair was given the promise of a son who should go before the face of the Yeshua for the preparing of his ways. For the Zechariah dwelt in the hill country of the Judea, but he had gone up to Jerusalem to minister for 1 week in the temple, a service required twice a year from the priest of each course. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before the Yahweh in the order of his course, according unto the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Yahweh. Now, this burning incense, that's what went up with the prayers from off the altar, was this incense. And if you don't have a burning incense to ascend with the prayers, there is no receiving of the prayers in the first department on the Day of Atonement. There's no need to have any Day of Atonement or a Feast of Tabernacles or anything. If you don't have this incense burning continually, to go up with the prayers of the sinner that offers the blood for their sins on a daily basis, you got to have that incense. He was standing before the golden altar in the holy place. The holy place would be the first apartment. The most holy place would be the second apartment of the sanctuary. For the cloud of the incense with the prayers of the Israel was ascending before the Yahweh. Suddenly, he became conscious of a divine presence. An angel of the Yahweh was standing on the right side of the altar. For the position of the angel was an indication of the favor. But Zechariah took no note of this. For many years, he had prayed for the coming of the Redeemer. Now heaven has sent the messenger, its messenger, to announce that their prayers were about to be answered. But mercy of Yahweh seemed too great for him to credit. He was filled with fear and self condemnation. But he was greeted with a joyful assurance. Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Yahweh, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the key right here. You've got to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be successful for the winning of souls. You cannot go out just having a desire to be a winner of souls. You're going to have to be purified to have success, and you're going to have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. So it says, And many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Yahshua, their Redeemer, their Savior. And ye shall go before him in the spirit and power of the Elijah, for the turning of the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and the disobedient unto the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the coming of this Yahshua, the Son. And Zechariah said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. Zechariah well knew how to Abraham, to his old age, a child was given, because he believed him faithful who had promised. But for a moment, the aged priest turns his thought unto the weakness of humanity. He forgets that what Yahweh has promised, he is able to perform. What a contrast between this unbelief and the sweet childlike faith of the Mary. For the maiden of the Zechariah, whose answer to the angel's wonderful announcement was, behold, the handmaid of the Yahshua, be it unto thee according unto thy word. Luke 1:38. For the birth of a son unto Zechariah, Zechariah, like the birth of the child of Abraham, and that of Mary, was to reach a great spiritual truth, was to teach a great spiritual truth, a truth that we are slow to learn and ready to forget. In ourselves, we are incapable of the doing any good thing, but that which we cannot do will be wrought by the power of Yahweh in every submissive and believing soul. It was through the faith that the child of the promise was given. It is through the faith, and I'm going to add the blood, and the blood of the everlasting covenant, that the spiritual life is begotten. And we are enabled to do the works of righteousness. And to the question of Zechariah, the angel said, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of the Yahweh, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. 500 years before, Gabriel had made known unto Daniel the prophetic period which was to extend unto the coming of the Yahshua. The knowledge that the end of this time was near had moved Zechariah to pray for the Messiah's advent. Now, the very messenger to whom the prophecy was given had come to announce its fulfillment. For the words of the angel, I am Gabriel, that stands in the presence of the Father Yahweh, show that he holds a position of the high honor in the heavenly courts. When he came with a message unto Daniel, he said, there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, Yahshua, your prince. Daniel 10:21. Of Gabriel the Savior speaks in the Revelation, saying that he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Revelation 1:1. So it says, unto John the angel declared, I am a fellow servant with thee and with thy brethren the first, the prophets. Revelation 22. It looked like verse 9. Okay, wonderful thought that the angel who stands next in honor unto the Son of the Yahweh is the one chosen to open the purposes of Yahweh unto sinful men. Zacharias had expressed doubt of the angel's words. He was not to speak again until they were fulfilled. Okay. It says in behold, said the angel, thou shalt be dumb until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. It was a duty of the priest in this service to pray for the pardon of the public and national sins and for the coming of the Messiah. But when Zacharias attempted to do this, he could not utter a word. Coming forth to bless the people, he beckoned unto them and remains speechless. They had waited long and had begun to fear lest he had been cut down by the judgment of Yahweh. But as he came forth from the holy place, his face was shining with the glory of Yahweh, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. Zacharias communicated unto them what he had seen and heard, and as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own home. Soon after the birth of the promised child, the father's tongue was loosed, and he spake and he praised Yahweh, and fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea, and all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? All this tended to call attention unto the Messiah's coming for which John was to prepare the way. For the Holy Spirit rested upon Zacharias. And in these beautiful words, he prophesied of the mission of his son. Thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of Yahshua to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of the salvation unto his people by the remission of their sin. Now, in order to get knowledge on a daily basis of present truth, you have to have your sins behind you, put behind you. You can't hold on to sins, especially when provision has been made on holy days to get rid of your sins. You can't hold on to them. You got to get rid of them so you can understand present truth as you go forth from that day on. Through the tender mercy of our Father, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light unto them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of the death, to guide our feet into the way of the peace. And the child grew and was strong in the spirit, and was in the desert till the day of his showing unto Israel. Behold, the birth of the John.
Before
the birth of the John, the angel had said, he shall be great in the sight of the Yahweh, the Father, and his son Yahshua. I'm going to put both of them. And shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit. For Yahweh had called the son of the Zacharias unto a great work, the greatest ever committed unto men. In order to accomplish this work, he must have the Yahshua to work with him, and the Spirit of the Yahweh would be with him if he heeded the instruction of the angel. For the John, the Baptist, was to go forth as the Yahshua, the Son's messenger, for the bringing unto men the light of the Yahweh. He must give a new direction unto their thoughts. He must impress them with the holiness of the Yahweh's requirements and their need of his perfect righteousness. Such a messenger must be holy. He must be a temple for the indwelling Spirit of Yahweh. In order for the fulfilling of his mission, he must have a sound physical constitution and mental and spiritual strength. Therefore, it would be necessary for him for the controlling of the appetites and passions. He must be able so to control all his powers that he could stand among men as unmoved by the surrounding circumstances as the rocks and the mountains of the wilderness. In the time of the John the Baptist, greed for the riches and the love of luxury and display had become widespread. Sensuous pleasures, feasting, and drinking were causing physical disease and degeneracy, benumbing the spiritual perceptions, and loosening the sensibilities to sin. John was to stand as a reformer. By his abstemious life and plain dress, he was to rebuke the excesses of his time. Hence the directions given unto the parents of John, a lesson of the temperance by an angel from the throne of heaven, and childhood and youth, the character is most impressible. For the power of the self-control should then be acquired by the fireside, and at the family board influences are exerted, whose results are as enduring as eternity. More than any natural endowment, the habits established in the early years decide whether a man will be victorious or vanquished unto the battle of life. Youth is the sowing time. It determines the character of the harvest for this life and for the life to come. As the prophet John was to turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children, and the disobedient unto the wisdom of the just, for the making ready of a people prepared for the Yeshua, and the preparing the way for the Yeshua's first advent, he was a representative of those who are to prepare a people for the Yeshua's second advent coming. The world is given to self-indulgence. Errors and fables abound. Satan's snares for the destroying souls are multiplied. All who would perfect holiness in the fear of the Yahweh must learn the lessons of the temperance and self-control. For the appetites and passions must be held in subjection unto the higher powers of the mind. This self-discipline is essential for that mental strength and spiritual insight that will enable us for the understanding and for the practice of the sacred truths of the Yahweh's word. For this reason, temperance finds its place in the work of the preparation for the Yeshua's second coming. Pay attention, folks. In the natural order of things, the son of the Zacharias would have been educated for the priesthood, but the training of the rabbinical schools would have unfitted him for his work. Yahweh did not send him unto the teachers of the theology for the learning how to interpret the scriptures. He called him unto the desert that he might learn of the nature and nature's Yahweh. It was a lonely region where he found his home in the midst of the barren hills, wild ravines, and rocky caves. But it was his choice to forego the enjoyments and luxuries of the life for the stern discipline of the wilderness. Here his surroundings were favorable unto the habits of simplicity and self-denial. Uninterrupted by the clamor of the world, he could hear, study the lessons of the nature and revelation and of the providence, for the words of the angel unto Zacharias had been often repeated unto John by his Yahweh-fearing parents. From childhood his mission had been set before him, and he had accepted the holy trust. Unto him the solitude of the desert was a welcome escape from society in which suspicion, unbelief, and impurity had become well nigh all pervading. He distrusted his own power to withstand temptation and shrank from the constant contact with the sin lest he should lose the sense of its exceeding sinfulness. Dedicated unto Yahweh as a Nazarite from his birth, he made the vow of his own in a lifelong consecration. His dress was that of the ancient prophets, a garment of the camel's hair confined by a leather girdle. He ate the locust and wild honey found in the wilderness, and drink the pure water from the hills. But the life of John was not spent in the idleness, in the ascetic gloom, or in the selfish isolation. From time to time he went forth to mingle with men, and he was ever an interested observer of what was passing in the world. From his quiet retreat, he watched the unfolding of the event. With the vision illuminated by the divine spirit, he studied the characters of the men that he might understand how to reach their hearts. With the message of the heaven, the burden of his mission was upon him. In the solitude, by the meditation and prayer, he sought to gird up his soul for the life work before him. Although in the wilderness, he was not exempt from the temptation. So far as possible, he closed every avenue by which Satan could enter, yet he was still assailed by the tempter. But his spiritual perception were clear. He had developed strength and decision of the character, and through the aid of the Holy Spirit, he was able to detect Satan's approaches and to resist his power. John found in the wilderness his school and his sanctuary. Like Moses amid the mountains of the Midian, he was shut in by the Yahweh's presence and surrounded by the evidences of his power. It was not his lot to dwell, as did Israel's great leaders, amid the solemn majesty of the mountain solitude. But before him was the house of the Moab, beyond Jordan, speaking of him who had set fast the mountains and girded them with the strength. For the gloomy and terrible aspect of the nature in his wilderness home vividly pictured the condition of Israel, the fruitful vineyard of the Yahweh had become a desolate waste. But above the desert the heavens bent bright and beautiful, the clouds that gathered dark with the tempest were arched like the rainbow of the promise. So above Israel's degradation shone the promised glory of the Messiah's reign. For the clouds of the wrath were spanned by the rainbow of his covenant mercy. Alone in the silent night, he read Yahweh's promise unto Abraham of a seed, of the numberless as the stars, for the light of the dawn, a gilding the mountains of the Moab, told of him who should be as the light of the morning. When the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, 2 Samuel 23:4, and in the brightness of the noontide, he saw the splendor of his manifestation. When the glory of Yahweh shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. Isaiah 40:5. With an awed yet exultant spirit, he searched in the prophetic scroll the revelations of the Messiah's coming. the promised seed that should bruise the serpent's head, Shiloh. And that Shiloh is another name for Yahshua. You'll find that in Genesis 49:10. For a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. The peace giver. But actually, the Bible says, Shiloh, the lawgiver, who was to appear before a king should cease to reign on the David throne. Now the time had come. For a Roman ruler sat in the place of the palace upon Mount Zion. By the sure word of the Yes, of the Yahweh, already the Yahshua was born. Isaiah's rapt portrayals of the Messiah's glory were his study by the time, or by the day and by the night. For the branch from the root of the Jesse, a king to reign in the righteousness, judging with equity for the meek of the earth, a covert from the tempest, and the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Israel no longer to be termed forsaken, nor her land desolate, but to be called of the Yahshua mighty light, and her land of Beulah, Isaiah 11:4 and 32:2, Isaiah 62:4. It says, for the heart of the lonely exile was filled with a glorious vision. He looked upon the king and his beauty, and self was forgotten. He beheld the majesty of the holiness and felt himself to be inefficient and unworthy. He was ready to go forth as a heaven's messenger, unawed by the human, because he had looked upon the divine. He could stand erect and fearless in the presence of the earthly monarch, because he had bowed low before the King of Kings. John did not fully understand the nature of the Messiah's kingdom. He looked for the Israel to be delivered from her national foes, but the coming of a king in righteousness and the establishment of Israel as a holy nation was the great object of his hope. Thus he believed would be accomplished, the prophecy given at his birth, to remember his holy covenant that we were being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. Well, John the Baptist understood that wrong, but nevertheless, that stands out as a type, and up to now we have understood it the same way, but now we know that the second coming of Yahshua is that he's going to come in person again, just like he did the first time. He's going to this time stay and rule upon the throne of David. Genesis 49:10, Isaiah 9:6-8, and Luke 1:32-33. All go together. This brings in verse 30, shall contact us at the 11th hour. Call us number 11. Click on our audio archive. To hear this message and more, we're going to close now with a song.
Passing out on General Savior.
Passing out on General Savior, hear my humble cry. Call out of the sour calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior,
in my humble heart. Oh, Lord, I desire calling. Do not pass me by. Let me at the throne of mercy find a sweet relief. Meaning there and deep confession, help my unbelief. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All our others are calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in the merit, will I seek that faith. Heal my wounded, broken spirit, save me by thy grace. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All our others are calling, do not cast me by. God, just bring upon thy comfort more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. All our others are calling, do not pass me by.